How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I welcome my colleague, Francis Rose, the host of Government Matters, WJLA, in the nation's capital. Francis, his conversations with the men and women who run the government, who have run the government, who consult with the government, this vast federal machine. And Francis this week introduces us to the fact that the machine is already transforming itself to acknowledge artificial intelligence and data stacks, stacks and stacks of data extending into the future. We're preparing for the AI of the future. They're building for the robotics that are coming. Francis, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. You spoke to one of your favorites and mine whenever you speak to him, Bob Work, former Deputy Secretary of Defense, who is now observing what it means to have troubles with chips, computer chips. I want to start there because there's much attention these last days that the computer chip shortage has damaged the auto industry, has damaged other industries, but chiefly the auto industry, which we see cutting into manufacturing. What did you learn from former Secretary of Defense Bob Work about Taiwan and its critical presence in American prosperity? Good evening to you.
John, good evening. Thank you very much for the invitation. The challenge that we have as a country is the work that Bob has done recently, along with his colleagues in the National Security Commission on artificial intelligence, is that there is artificial intelligence, they have determined, is not one technology. It's a stack of six technologies. They assess that the United States is ahead of China in three of those six, and that China is on par with or ahead of the United States in three others. One of those is the hardware. We are ahead of China in their assessment in the area of hardware. But the fear is that if China were to ever overtake Taiwan and take control of Taiwan, they would take control of their chip manufacturing, thereby becoming equal with or ahead of the United States in four of those six elements of the artificial intelligence stack. Now, you and I have talked before about how much the United States military in particular, but the government as a whole, is staking on its artificial intelligence posture. And so to fall behind China in four out of six elements of the artificial intelligence stack is pretty alarming.
Mr. Work, Bob Work, also speaks of success. This has to do with running exercises for how to use artificial intelligence in national defense. So I want to be positive here. If I understand correctly, what they're doing now is preparing for hardware and software that's coming online. Is that correct? They don't have it yet, but they have pieces of it.
That's the official record, and the sense that I'm getting from what we know on the official record is that the military is getting closer and closer to being able to provide artificial intelligence tools to warfighters at the tip of the spear. Now, every person that I've ever spoken to, civilian or uniformed, in the military says the robots, the AI, the algos will never push the button. That means they will never rely on the artificial intelligence to decide to engage some type of weapon. But that doesn't mean that those decisions won't happen based on artificial intelligence tools that provide information, that provide data to warfighters, both at the single shooter level and at a broader level. So the fact that the AI algo will never decide to push the button doesn't mean that artificial intelligence isn't going to be extremely, extremely vital, integrated into the warfighting process. It absolutely is.
You spoke with Todd Harrison, Center for Strategic and International Studies, And what you learned is the decision now made by the president to withdraw the U.S. military presence in Afghanistan by mid-September of this year is a money saver. I was surprised for how little it is. I would have guessed a much bigger number. What's the estimate, Francis?
Well, the estimate is that the top-line budget this year, including the elimination of the overseas contingency operation budget, where a lot of the money for Afghanistan and Iraq was housed, is about $715 billion. But what is more striking to me than the actual numbers is the fact that this is something that the Obama administration talked about. This is something the Trump administration talked about. Eliminating the overseas contingency operation budget. When the war in Afghanistan began, the Bush administration created this extra fund to say we're doing this function in Afghanistan that we were not expecting to do. And so we're going to create this pool of money to fight that war that's above and beyond the money that was required to operate the budget. That perpetuated itself through the Bush administration and through the Obama administration and now through the Trump administration into the Biden administration. And the Biden team's argument is, if we're not going to have the overseas contingencies operations anymore, we don't need a separate OCO, is what it's called in Washington, because we love our contractions so much. We don't need an OCO budget anymore. And so they have basically moved all of that money to the base budget. Now, one of the potential arguments is that that will be an opportunity for the Biden administration to say to its people, to its supporters that want it to reduce the Pentagon budget at the end of a several-year period, well, we've reduced the Pentagon budget, and that will come from potentially from the drawdown in Afghanistan. I don't know whether that's a budget mechanism or not, but it's striking that they didn't waste any time at all in trying to get rid of that that OCO budget. They are going for that right out of the gate. Now, obviously, Congress gets a vote, or 535 votes to be precise. But just the fact that they did not waste any time in trying to do that is, I think, an interesting kind of stake in the ground as far as what the administration wants to do budget-wise.
Finally, you spoke to Diana Moore, Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the GAO. What is readiness? What are they measuring at GAO of the Navy and the Marines?
Well, they're measuring basically what has happened over the last 5 to 10 years because of the wars and because of the other operations that the organizations have had to be involved with. A lot of the focus on readiness has by Congress has gone into equipment. But whenever especially the uniform leaders, but also the civilian leaders of the services would go to the Hill, they would always talk about the readiness also of their personnel. And so the Government Accountability Office is required by the National Defense Authorization Act a couple of years ago to look at the readiness by kind of arbitrary objective measures. Arbitrary is not the right word, but by objective measures of what is the state of the force when GAO goes and kind of takes that snapshot once a year. And the finding there is that the Navy is struggling to come back from the readiness crisis that it was in. Now, to be fair, everybody's acknowledged, especially the Navy, was very vocal all through the 2010s in saying, we're hurting. We need more resources. We need support for our personnel and so on. All the CNOs and all of the other uniform leaders and civilian leaders talked about that. Both in the Obama administration and the Trump administration. And that's what we're seeing. We're not seeing any kind of shortfall on the part of the Navy. We're not seeing any kind of screw up on the part of the Navy. It's just the Navy was further behind the curve than the Marine Corps that Diana cited in her work, and the other services. They just had a deeper hole to climb out of, and they're still in the process of climbing out of that readiness hole.
We have less than a minute, Francis. So I interpret this meaning that the GAO has now given the details of something we've known anecdotally for years, such as those two Arleigh Burke collisions in East Asia waters. That was an expression of a shortfall in readiness. Is that fair?
Yeah, my recollection is that there was a training shortfall that caused collision.
Right.
And this is now putting numbers and data to that discrepancy that we've talked about for a long time, John.
Francis Rose, he is the host of Government Matters. We move very quickly from AI to Afghanistan to the U.S. Navy, as Francis' show does on WJLA. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agent Force, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.